Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey. 720 WGN. Anna Bellavola and myself, John Hansen, in until 1 o'clock, and we're on hour number four here, Anna. We're doing
good.
Oh, my
goodness. It's flown by.
It's flying by. You know, we've been talking about live shots that we're doing. It's been interesting TV, and we got some good pitches, too. 312-917-200. Isn't Natalie writing down the pitches?
I guarantee you, I think she's called two places already.
You're already booked for this week.
Exactly.
You're all set up. Keep them coming. 312-981-7200. What should we do next? Either on Channel 9 or on CW26 on the Jam.
Or both.
At the same time, I'm telling you, crossover. There's some appeal there. There's some things we can do.
Exactly.
You already came on and interrupted me once on live TV, so.
You don't hold a grudge.
Yeah, I'm going to come back. Don't you worry. I wanted to talk about live shots also because we got Fred Weintraub in studio. I'd be remiss, Fred, if I didn't mention that my favorite things to do on TV are to do the pep assemblies that you help arrange for us for Game of the Week. And did you ever do pep assemblies?
Yes, I do.
I actually really enjoy it. It's a lot. It's stressful. There's a lot going on.
Some schools are better than others.
We'll talk
later about which ones work better.
You know what's a great one is Glenbar West. Fred, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing great. And I love when you go to the schools. Unfortunately, so I go out to all these schools as executive producer for the U. They don't say, Fred, how are you doing? What's going on in London? What's going on in Singapore? Uh-huh. What they say to me first is John Hansen coming out?
Of course.
It's really irritating, but it's
Listen,
not really irritating.
It's the plight of the producer.
Did you see him do a cartwheel on the air the other day?
No, I didn't. Stop it.
I wouldn't call it a cartwheel.
When you turn 40, we'll talk.
Yeah, when you see this one, you're not going to be too impressed.
You might have to give him a little tutorial.
Yes, exactly.
I've tumbled, but with a lot of help.
Yeah. Just helpers along
and
the way.
And not on purpose. Like, it just happened. Didn't you see me the other day off the back of the guy from that dinner show that Broadway in Chicago has now?
No.
Cirque.
Oh, you did a Cirque thing?
I did. Not Soleil. It's a new thing in one of the hotels. You know what it is.
Yeah, probably.
I just went to it and...
You know how this brain turns
to
mush.
We had rehearsed just sit on my on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's part of the job.
Okay.
So you guys didn't even flinch.
Yes.
And so my mother's like, you were on some man's feet. So I'm sitting on his feet. And of course, it always happens to me on the air. I go, let's do the flip. And
oh,
the guy looks at me like, we haven't practiced it. So I put my legs behind me.
Uh-huh.
And he flipped me completely.
And you did it?
Yep.
All right. There you go. You're athletic. You already danced twice.
I'm flexible. I am not athletic.
And the producers were going, we knew she would do it.
Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. They're like, she says no, but
once the red light goes on.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you are a very dapper dresser.
I gotta say, Fred,
you look great.
Look at him.
Yeah, this is how he looks when I see him every day, too.
Are you serious? He goes producing like this?
Yes.
His, the sneakers are unbelievable.
Well, some days are better than others. Some days are better than others, but... Anytime I can be in Chicago,
right?
You know, I'm used to being, when I'm on with John from London or Singapore, we're on via satellite.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
He's in his pajamas.
It's kind of nice. It's,
Do you dress like that for us when you're in bed?
Stop telling anybody whether I'm in my pajamas doing live shots or not.
He is in his silk pajamas and his ascot.
Yes, exactly.
Ascot. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
We brought you here not to talk about what you're wearing necessarily, but you know all things London. And by the way, you co-host with Hannah Stanley, and you do a bunch of other things too. You're our worldly fellow and traveler of many worlds.
Oh, it's our fourth hour.
Oh, yeah.
It's our fourth hour.
You never just start a sentence. You're like,
Where the heck is this one?
Yeah. So, Fred, man, the UK, what is going on? Because at some point, Boris, he's threatening to shut down Parliament or ask for it to be extended. How does this work? Because I know that, you know, you talk about UK rules. You know, we don't know all the things. I'm sure there's some idiosyncrasies about our own Congress that other people think is crazy. What's going on in the UK?
Well, unfortunately, they don't know all the rules either, which is why it's creating quite a problem.
But,
so just to give you just 10 seconds on Brexit. So as you know, the soap opera began in 2013. And in 2016, the UK / Britain voted, should we stay in the European Union or should we get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what side of the fence that you want to lean on, obviously the get out of it won 52%. But as you look down that black hole of what that really meant in getting out of it, they weren't really sure. So, as I say many of the times when I'm asked, what does it all mean? One, they don't know what it means. Two, a lot of people don't understand what the economic impact is of leaving the EU. So I like to look at it as the EU is this 28-country club.
Okay.
You're probably stronger, in my opinion, as a member of a 28 than you are as a single island called Britain and Ireland. Now, many people don't agree with that based on the vote. But once you vote, and even though you might have been looking down that black hole of I don't exactly understand what's going on, but I know I don't like what's going on from an economic standpoint in the UK, which could be, you could say the same thing in America, they vote to get out. We go through a couple prime ministers. Theresa May does the best that she can to try to cut a deal that's going to work for all sides.
And when you say cut a deal, I mean, we're talking about a deal internally that the country, that the parliament votes on, that the EU will accept as the terms for the exit.
Correct. Okay.
So why do they have to accept the terms of the exit? I thought they were just like quitting the EU and I'm leaving.
Well, it's all about money. So I like to think of it as this is like a high-level divorce that's going on. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
This is a divorce that's going on. Mm-hmm. Once you tell the EU, I don't love you anymore, they don't care about you.
Right.
You know, they don't want to see you for a drink on Friday night.
They want your money.
They want your money.
They want half your money.
And then they want more than half. And so if you have to pay on a yearly basis a certain amount of money to belong to the EU, which you do, then the UK pretty much said, we don't want to do that. We think we can be better alone.
Mm-hmm.
So you write your divorce decree, which they've been writing for the last couple of years. And there's this thing called, there's a treaty that had to be signed, which basically started the process rolling. But no one figured that there would be a day that would come where we have to be out. So now, happy Halloween, that day is October 31st.
Yeah. And that's been pushed back a couple times.
That's been pushed back. They've said we need a little bit of extension, that they've done everything they can. In walks Boris Johnson, who was the mayor of London. And is now the prime minister. And he's saying, we will absolutely be out by the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
But does he have a real plan in effect? Once again, it depends who you talk to.
Does he have the votes?
Well, he's got some of the votes.
Yeah.
So right now, there's a lot of jockeying going on. What really people have to watch out for, whether you live in the UK or whether you care about economics from a global standpoint, watch the sterling. That pound has gone down from $1.30, $1.26.
And they kept the pound while they were in the EU. They didn't move to the euro.
No.
Because they felt so confident about the history of the pound, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've kept the pound. They were never going to change that. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it only boils down to what are you getting for your money? So when the pound goes down to $1.20 and you start talking about a recession, then it impacts the people.
Yeah.
And in the end, we can have this politician gobbledygook, which is what you have in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And it is probably, in my assessment, the worst political economic mess in modern times. But now it affects people's pocketbook. Mm-hmm. It affects whether they're going to be paying the same price for food.
Right.
It affects whether they're getting food imported into the UK or how they're going to get it. And it also affects medicine. So when you affect those four things, it's like anything else. What do we care about? Whether it's the United States or whether it's Britain, we care about our families. And can they get the things they need to get?
What's the parliamentary trick now? And that's the best way to call it.
Yeah.
It's you're utilizing this law or this rule of parliamentary procedure about something about the Queen has to make a speech and there's X amount of days of debate.
And she rarely switches the date of the speech.
So what is this all about?
So what that's about is the Queen makes a speech every year and she comes to Parliament in her full
garb.
What she really does is she comes in part of the garb. She and a carriage that takes her to Parliament. She gets into Parliament. She goes into the robing room of Parliament. Mm-hmm. And for this 93-year-old woman who's smarter than a whip, from what I can tell, she then puts on another 50 pounds worth of,
jewels.
It's kind of the same stuff John puts on for his live shots.
Yes, every day. Yeah.
But she puts on her...
The whole royal thing.
Her whole royal thing.
That's
and she goes and she makes a speech to both the House of Lords and the House of Commons. Now, what she's really doing is she is reading the speech that the current prime minister has given her. And it basically outlines what's going to happen this year.
Hmm.
So what Boris Johnson is trying to do is he says, well, I better have a little talk with the Queen. So he doesn't do that personally. He does it via phone. And then he sends an emissary to where the Queen is vacationing right now, which is in Balmoral
over the crown
over the summer. And I'm sure the Queen, who's very dedicated to what she does, and you have to be
hard
93
worker, yeah.
because
right.
we aren't going to be doing live shots at 93.
Well, no. I work at GN. You never know.
Can we all agree on
we
that?
We stay there forever.
Can we all agree on that?
But I'll be on a trapeze somewhere, Fred. If no one else will hire me, yes, I will still be in tights somewhere bouncing.
She's disrupting her vacation to have this emissary come and say, can you stop Parliament from being in session? Because the less days that Parliament is in session before October 31st comes, the more of an opportunity there is to either figure out what they're going to do or to get out.
Wait, because if you're in session, the argument being that there's more and more hay that can be made on the other side against it, there's more. So the more backroom dealing there can be, the less public dealing there is advantageous to the prime minister to get a deal through. Is that what the...
In theory.
That's what he's banking on.
Yeah, that's what he's banking on. Although you've got to think, he really doesn't know what... He's throwing all the options at the window. And one option is they get out. They get out, and then they have to figure out, how do we make this work from an economic standpoint? Another option is he calls for another vote. And
they've lost a couple of those.
Yeah, and the UK can decide whether,
the UK populace.
Yeah, the populace can vote again.
Oh, vote this again to stay or leave.
To stay or leave.
Wow.
Now, you would think if they had an opportunity to vote again, they might vote to stay.
And, well, that also, that changes precedent. That's an interesting situation, because if you can just vote and then it kind of gets squirrely and to call another vote, I imagine some people that voted yes to leave earlier would say that's not fair.
Yeah, of course they'd say that's not fair. But in the end, if you have a vote and the people are voting, you unfortunately, if you're a politician, you got to go by what the people wanted. Mm-hmm. So if 52% said, oh, we want to be out in 2016, and now they see all this havoc that's taking place.
Yeah.
Because even if they get out and there are tariffs and things cost more money, don't you think the price of food is going to go up?
Yeah, sure.
It's not the grocery store that's going to really lose money. It's the
consumer.
It's the people. Yeah. And the businesses, some are already making plans to move out of the UK just to be prepared if there's a problem.
You're wearing a pocket square, so I trust what you have to say about this. What's your prognostication? Do you think that they're going to get a deal through, or do you think they're going to end up revoting on this?
I don't think somewhere in
the middle. Are we going to get an extension again and see where we go?
I think that in the last hour, on the last day, there will be some degree of compromise. Even if they get out of the EU, they still have to, behind the scenes, work out some type of deal so they can function.
Mm-hmm.
So we could all play this game of in, out, there's no gray area. But as we know in politics, there's always a great area.
There's always a great area. We're going to take a quick commercial break, then I want to talk about the royal family, because that's the important thing here on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to continue our conversation here as I keep on forgetting to put... Ryan's going to kill me. I keep on forgetting to put up the producer pod.
That's all right. I had a good bump here, too.
Oh, no. Hold on.
I didn't even have my microphone on. Ugh, the wheels have come undone.
Hour four.
But people have to understand, you're manning the board, which I won't do it the way you do it.
Well, people also need to appreciate that Steve Bertrand's just sitting in a chair. This is his show he's supposed to be
Bertrand,
doing.
Bertrand, I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, I love being here, but what gifts?
Markets are closed. Nah, I'm done.
Ugh.
Talk to me a little bit about commodities, you two. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
I feel quite comfortable.
We're talking about the sterling. Yeah.
Yeah, the pound. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are talking, and Boris Johnson speaking actually right now.
Really?
Saying he doesn't want an election amid the Brexit crisis. You know, there was some talk about a snap election.
Right.
And he said one other here, quick line. Issuing a rally cry. He's apparently got some sort of rally in front of his supporters trying to build up support. So, yeah, he's talking, cheering it on right now.
A world leader who loves to throw campaign rallies outside of the campaign season. Gosh, if only we knew someone like that here. 720 WGN, Fred Weintraub. Let's talk about the royal family. You know all things about the UK. You gave us a note saying everyone's quitting Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's staff. Really? I hadn't heard anything about
this. That's been happening for a while, though.
Really? Why?
So, well, you know, they divided their charities between, so William and Harry had their own charity, which they've had for years with Kate. Then all of a sudden, over the last 6 months, rumors started to come out that they weren't getting along as well as they should.
The brothers?
Weren't getting along as well as they should. And rumors came out even further that Prince Charles, their father, had to go to them and say, take a chill pill.
Suck it up.
Yeah. Take a chill pill because you're brothers, and this isn't good from a media standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And William, if you're the one who's causing the issue, stop causing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in putting it in perspective, no one really knows what's going on because it's not like the royal family's talking to the press and saying we're having a little squabble between siblings.
Mm-hmm.
From a business standpoint, they both have two powerhouses. Kate and William, who have their own sets of charities. Some are more directed because he will be king one day.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry and Meghan are also their own pop powerhouse because they have their own set of charities that will focus on Africa, focus on the Invictus Games and the environment. So from a business standpoint, it was better to divide and be two different organizations. But then people started to quit. Now, you never know what's really going on. And in fairness to Meghan Markle, she's going to get the rap, and they're going to say, she's difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm.
She's an American. She doesn't know the customs.
Yeah.
She's learning.
She's breaking protocol.
Yeah, she's breaking protocol. So far as I can tell, for the most part, she hasn't broken any real protocol. Is she her own woman? Does she want to do things the way she wants to do it? Probably, but she's not going to go against what the queen wants and the customs that the queen has instituted for the last 56, 57 years that she's had her reign. So she's probably getting a bad rap. And when you're working for the royal family, it is not as hard as your live shots are every day.
So hard.
It is.
Tough.
It's almost as hard. But these people are working 24 hours a day because this isn't like I go home at 8
they're
o'clock.
They're on the entire time and there's no privacy.
And there is no privacy. And their job is to protect their members of the royal family. And for those people that say, one, I don't care about the royal family. Two, they don't do anything. Three, they don't bring any money into the UK.
They live off of our...
It's all wrong. Yeah. Whether you're a fan or not a fan, they bring in billions of pounds worth of charity. They do more public engagements. If the three of us had to do 500 engagements a year, I'm not sure the three of us could do it together.
Yeah.
And they do them individually.
Mm-hmm.
So... People quitting is probably because people are quitting is probably because they're burned out.
Yeah.
They need to make changes. And I think we're in a different age, which I think Harry and Meghan and William Kate understand is people, no matter how high you are or what your public status is, you want some time with your family.
Right. And they want to move on. Those times where people were completely dedicated to the crown forever and ever are over.
Yeah,
because they're a different generation.
For sure. It's completely different. Last question before we go to news here really quickly. Prince William and Kate are taking their kids to the pub? I can get behind. Bring your kids to the pub, right?
So William and Kate have been taking their kids for pub lunches. And so Kate lives, her family lives in Bucklebury outside of London. And they have their favorite pub.
That's the best name for an area ever. Bucklebury, please.
And they have their favorite pub. And they like going in there, according to the reports, because people leave them alone.
Yeah.
Prince, now it's slipping me.
William.
Who's the cute?
George.
William. Prince George apparently wears his camouflage pants because he wants people to not know that he's in this pub.
That's
how cute
is that? That's pretty cute.
So if you have, when you look at where's the real power besides the Queen, the real power is in Charlotte. And it's in
George and Louis.
George and Louis, because they bring happiness to the royal family. William and Kate are trying to show people they really are a regular family where they can be.
They go to pubs and have chips and fish.
And when Prince George decides via Kate that he's going to wear a certain outfit from the Gap or wherever, it also sells out for millions
of
pounds. So everything in the end, even though they're the prince and princess of cuteness, it all revolves around money.
Yep.
Nothing says I'm a normal person like, where do you live? Buckleberry.
Yeah.
That just says I'm just average Joe. Fred, GabbyRoad.com also. Tell us a little bit about that really quickly here.
So Hannah and I and Justin from the Broadcast Museum are about to debut a radio show and podcast called GabbyRoad.com. So more on that later, but it's going to debut in the next few weeks.
Awesome.
That's all I can tell you.
Great.
Good to talk to you as always.
Nice to be
here. Nice to meet you, Fred.
Take care.